Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, well, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
All right, today we're going to discuss a few things, but we're going to continue this on a regular weekly basis. Mortgage-free towns. What are mortgage-free towns? Mortgage-free towns are towns that have homes that are in the majority, if not 100%, mortgage-free. So, and one of those places is Mabin Town, which is located in Texas. So, mortgage-free towns also, we're going to be discussing, mortgage-free outreaches, Patel and Amin family, the Gujaratis of India, motels, and motel or potel niche market, which is very significant here in the United, actually North America. Hardware store homes, housing ministries or housing ministries radio and tours, and enterprising ministries. So we'll be back with all of that right after Faith Street.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Well, hey folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my homeless housing solutions designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college, and I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in, and so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced and didn't have a job and was trying to get off grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And, you know, all they need is a simple shelter. You know, some place to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping the homeless, churches, nonprofits, and things like that. So I came up with this small structure design, which I call the Multi-Shack, because it has actually multi-uses to it. And it can be built very affordably. You can build this entire shack for under $200. And it is built on wheels. It can be put on either a 4x6 trailer, or you can build it on casters. Casters are a lot less expensive, but it still allows you to move this unit around. So you could store, you know, a bunch of these on a church parking lot, and then just when you need them, you can move them out to wherever you want the person to be using them. Casters are 4-inch casters. Each caster will hold up to 240 pounds, so they'll more than handle the weight for this structure here. Now, this structure is 6'5" from the peak to the bottom, 6'5". So an even a tall person can stand upright inside this structure. The door is 1'6" wide and about 5'3" to the peak up there in the door. And the structure is 4 feet wide approximately and about 6 foot long. About 6 foot long by 4 foot wide, 6 foot five to the peak. And this is constructed very inexpensively from 2x4 framing, which I'll show you, and uses, I would use 7/16 OSB or plywood. Either one would work for the siding on this. Now, a couple of the features here. I show this with dorm windows. The dorm windows are actually optional. You don't have to put dorm windows. You can just go with a flat roof surface if you want here. I show this with wood shingles, or you could use just plain old tar paper and roofing shingles. Any type of roofing shingles would work on this. Show it with a little flower box there just for effect. And on the backs and the front, I show this with these round windows, like boat-style windows, or you could put square windows. Either one works. I just like the effect of the round windows, the look of those in there. This does have an access panel on the back. Down here is an access panel. We'll just open this up so I can show you. Open up, take this one off. There we go. Now you can see inside the access panel. Underneath the seat and bed is storage, lots of storage underneath here for a propane tank, one of those Port-a-Loo porta-potties, an ice chest over there you can see. Okay, so there's good storage. This is about 18 inches high inside here and about 4 feet wide inside. So the structure, I'll show this with the door open. Let me just hide this door here. With the door open, you can see I've got this set up. Right now I've got it set up for seating. During the day, this would be used for seating purposes, okay? And I'm going to pull the side roof off here so I can show you inside. But this has a very nice space for a person that maybe is going to school or working, or just the table can be used for eating or whatever. So you've got approximately 6 feet of space on the inside here by 4 feet wide. And this table is actually part of the bed platform, which I'll show you. You just pull the 2x4 out, put it in one of these slots. It's in this 2x4 here. There's another one on the other side. You just drop the 2x4 into the slot, and then you take your bed panel and put it up on top of that, and then that becomes a table. Here you've got 2 foot by 4 foot cushions. There's three of these cushions that become your bed, or you can use a roll-up mattress pad underneath this that becomes your bed. But during the daytime, it becomes seating. It becomes a little mini couch in here, 4 foot wide. And now you've got a space for a student to do their studies, their work, or for having your meal, or if you're working on a hobby or a craft or something like that, you've got this nice little space. When you get out the door, you just lift the table up, put it back, put the 2x4 back in the bottom slots, put the table down, and then you turn it into a bed. And I'm going to show you what it looks like as a bed, too. So, good headroom in this. I really like that it's got a very good space. This is an average person, 5'8" tall. You can see you've got lots of headroom here. You've got these nice dormer windows, which would give you lots of light. Lots of light, and also gives you a little bit more headroom up in this area right in here. A 6 foot person could stand up in the middle of this quite comfortably. Two people could actually share, sit side by side on this couch, or you can pull your ice chest cooler out, or someone could put a foldable chair on the other side here. So you could actually have two people sitting side by side or crossways next to each other here. So lots of space in this little place. So let me show you what the framing looks like on this first. And I'll just have to zoom in on this. Now this is all done with 2x4 construction to keep it inexpensive and easy to build. And then I would sheathe it with either 7/16 inch OSB or plywood. Either one would work. Now it's got a floor frame, as you can see, made of 2x4s down here. Simple 2x4 frame, floor frame construction, and then your casters attached to the corners, not exactly in the corners, but they attach to the floor framing, and the casters have locks on them, so once you move this in place, you can just click on the locks and lock it in place so it won't be rolled around while the person is inside it. Now, this is the bed platform, and it has, this back platform is this back platform is 2'6" wide, and it is permanently connected. These are 1'9" wide platforms. that can be raised up. And as you can see, these 2x4s right here, you put the 2x4 up in these other slots, and then you put these panels up on top, and they become either a table or workspace. This one can go up here. This one can go on the end. It can go over the middle. So I gave you lots of options for the ways that you can organize this into workspace or living space as you need to use it. Very simple construction. It takes about 20 2x4s to build this. That's about it. And you're looking at about under $200 for all the material costs. And you could build one of these in a day. Seriously, you could build the complete unit in about a day. And now I'm going to show you on the inside how this can be used as a bed and also as a small business. So I'm just going to click off this. Okay, now I show this with the bed down. The door open so you can kind of get a peek inside here. Now, this is an uninsulated structure. You really don't need insulation in a small structure like this because the human body puts off about as much heat as a 90-watt light bulb. So in a small structure like this, your own body heat will actually heat it up. And for sleeping, you can either do these pads like this as mattress pads, or you can just get a sleeping bag pad or even an air cushion pad to go underneath it. A sleeping bag pad would work fine because you can roll it up and use it as your seating. And a good heavy-duty sleeping bag would be all you would need in order to sleep very comfortably in here. As long as you don't have the wind blowing on you or the rain drenching you or snow piling up on you, you'll sleep very comfortably in a small structure like this. Your own body heat will heat it up. You could add a heater to these, but it really isn't necessary in these small structures. So I'm going to pull off the side roof, and I'm going to show you how much space this has inside it for a bed. It actually has a very nice bed that will sleep either one or two people. Pull this off here. Just hide this. Now, this has a 4 foot wide by 6 foot long bed. So even an average person can sleep in here. Even a tall person, fairly tall person, can sleep in here comfortably without being cramped. And it's 4 foot wide, so that's a very wide bed that will actually sleep two people. Two people could sleep in this space, all right? And it's 6 foot wide, and it's 4 foot wide and 6 foot long. This person I show in here is about 5 foot 8 inches tall, which is average height for most people. And here you can see the slots I was talking about. These platforms, which I'll show you, I'll take the bed off now. These two platforms are removable with 2x4s underneath them. You just take the 2x4, you put it in the slots that go across here, and then put these platforms up on top to make your table. And you can actually do a table on either end or one in the middle for a desk and table. Now, the ones on the ends I'll show you are used if you want to run a small business out of here or if you want to organize this in a different way so that if you're cooking, you could put one of these tables on this end or on this end. And you could set up your cooking supplies, and you can take care of yourself. You can cook a meal inside this little place right here. So 4 foot wide, 6 foot long bed, and then very adaptable with these platforms of 2x4s. You can just put them up, and you can reorganize this any way you want during the daytime for whatever function that you're going to be using. Again, it has storage space underneath the bed and seating. You've got that nice access panel for you. You've got storage underneath there. And I really like the space in here. This would be enough adequate space if in an emergency, let's say that a city has a disaster, a fire like they just had in Canada wipes out all these homes, or you have a tornado tear through a place, or you have flooding or something like that, which we've all seen in the news, happens all the time, and suddenly churches are overrun with people that don't have housing. You know, if you had a bunch of these sitting around, that would sleep at least two people. You could pull these out in a small area. You could set these up, and people would at least have shelter for survival until they can get into houses or shelter, bigger shelters or something like that. So that's another use for this type of structure here. So now I'm going to put the bed back on just to show you. And again, you can see this has really nice dormer windows, so you got really good light in this, and it's got an excellent sleeping space. It would be better for one person, but it would be adequate for two people. okay? And, you know, if you got little teeny kids with you, you could put, you know, one adult and a couple of kids in there, too. You know, there's enough space in there to sleep comfortably, and you've got lots and lots of headroom. You're not going to bump your head or anything while you're sleeping. Doorway, 1 foot 6 inches wide, 5 foot 3 inches to the top up here. So lots and lots of good space in this. Now I'm going to show you how this can also be modified to be used as a small business. Okay, one thing I know about people that are homeless is they're also very creative, and you know, a lot of them actually run little businesses in order to support themselves. A lot of them do recycling. They recycle cans and bottles and other stuff like that, or they pick up small appliances and stuff that they may find on the streets, or books or pictures or whatever, and they resell them, and that's how they support themselves. A lot of them are also very crafty people. They may make jewelry, or they may make wood crafts or something like that, or they may be artists. And so they have a way to support themselves, and so I think we ought to encourage that, because that helps them to develop sustainability. Not everybody is equipped to work in the regular workforce. Some people just aren't. But they're very industrious and can support themselves with a small business. And so I thought, well, this shack could also be used for setting up a small business. So what I did is I made this so that the window here can be hinged up, and I'll show this. The window on one of the dormers, or both, can be hinged up out of the way. And then you've got room here to put a sales counter or little platform here, where this person is 5 foot 8 inches tall. A person can stand in this window and they can operate a small business. They can talk to customers, they can take money, whatever, working right out of this small shack. Now this doesn't necessarily have to be for homeless people. If you wanted to run a hot dog or hamburger stand, or sell your crafts or your books, or you know, whatever you want to do with this, maybe it's a ticket stand, I don't know. This little shack could be very useful for a lot of different purposes. That's why I call it a multi-shack, is because it can be used for many different purposes. But this would be great for a homeless person that has a craft that they make, or recycle products or whatever. They want to sell them. They just hinge up the window, and they set themselves up a little business here to take care of customers. Now, this also shows inside how those tables can be reorganized. Here you can see I've lifted up the bed platform to put a table on this end, another table on this end, and you can use this for cooking in here. You can see I've got a little two-burner propane stove that you can set up on one of the tables up there, so you can do your cooking. You can work on your crafts. This table just lifts off, a 2x4 lifts off if you need to get access to the door. Lots of good headroom, okay? Workspace in there. This can be modified many different ways for many different people of however you want to use it. So a very functional space in there. All right, so that is the multi-shack, all right? And let me just then hide this so you can get a better view of it. Again, can be built very inexpensively, around under $200 on casters, more expensive if you put it on a trailer. And I'm going to provide these plans for free, because this is a project that I designed specifically for churches and nonprofit organizations to build shelters. And at present in the U.S., we have about 1.6 million homeless people that just need a simple shelter to live in. Or that's about one out of 200 people. And that's just in the U.S. There's a lot of people in other countries that are in even worse shape. And I really think a project like this would be great for helping the homeless people to have shelter while maintaining their independence and their pride. But it could also be used as disaster relief shelters. You know, we could easily have a major disaster in a city where we have thousands and thousands of people that suddenly are homeless and we need to provide quick shelter. These would also work for that. It would be big enough space for two people to sleep and, to take care of their basic needs. And that's what this structure is about. So I hope you like this design. It's called the Multi-Shack. You can get the plans for free on my website, simplesolarhomesteading.com. Up at the top, look at Multi-Shack. Now, there is a button there if you would like to donate. Your donations are used by me to design structures like this and build small houses. I work with a lot of homeless people that don't want to be in the system, that want to build their own off-grid cabins and houses and places like that. I help them with designs and building those projects. So any donation, if you can donate, is very appreciated and will help with those projects. All right, folks, I hope you like this project called the Multi-Shack, and have a great day.
The only two things in life that make it worth living is guitars that tune good and firm feeling women. I don't need my name in the marquee lights. I got my song and I got you with me tonight. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Lou Barry's train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain. So baby, let's sell your diamond ring, buy some boots and faded jeans and go away. This coat and tie is choking me, in your high society you cry all day. Been so busy keeping up with the Joneses, four car garage, and we're still building on. Maybe in time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Newberry's train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain.
Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Willie and Waylon and boys. This successful life we're living's got us feuding like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Between the Hank Williams pain songs and Jerry Jeff train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, there ain't nobody feeling no pain.
Okay, now we're going to talk about Mortgage Free Towns here in a moment, as well as what's happening with the Garotti people and motels and potels. But I want to go back and I want to replay Lamar Alexander's Multi-Shack. Let me get the right one.
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little...
Okay. All right, I found it. What I want to do is I want us get a pen and a paper or a pencil or whatever you need to write with. We want to take notes because we want to take this one particular project and do it at least once, if not twice a week, in preparation for our upcoming radio program. So get yourself something, take notes on the materials needed for this. Okay, here we go. I'm playing it again. Take notes.
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you. I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my homeless housing solutions designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college, and I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in. And so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced and didn't have a job and was trying to get off grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And, you know, all they need is a simple shelter. You know, someplace to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping the homeless, churches, nonprofits, and things like that. So I came up with this small structure design, which I call the Multi-Shack, because it has actually multi-uses to it, and it can be built very affordably. You can build this entire shack for under $200, and it is built on wheels. It can be put on either a 4x6 trailer, or you can build it on casters. Casters are a lot less expensive, but it still allows you to move this unit around. So you could store, you know, a bunch of these on a church parking lot, and then just when you need them, you can move them out to wherever you want the person to be using them. Casters are 4-inch casters. Each caster will hold up to 240 pounds, so they'll more than handle the weight for this structure here. Now, this structure is 6'5" from the peak to the bottom, 6'5". So, and even a tall person can stand upright inside this structure. The door is 1'6" wide and about 5'3" to the peak up there in the door. And the structure is 4 foot wide approximately and about 6 foot long, about 6 foot long by 4 foot wide, 6'5" to the peak. And this is constructed very inexpensively from 2x4 framing, which I'll show you, and uses, I would use 7/16 OSB or plywood. Either one would work for the siding on this. Now, a couple of the features here. I show this with dorm windows. The dorm windows are actually optional. You don't have to put dorm windows. You can just go with a flat roof surface if you want here. I show this with wood shingles, or you could use just plain old tar paper and roofing shingles. Any type of roofing shingles would work on this. Show it with a little flower box there just for effect. And on the backs and the front, I show this with these round windows, like boat-style windows, or you could put square windows. Either one works. I just like the effect of the round windows, the look of those in there. This does have an access panel on the back. Down here is an access panel. We'll just open this up so I can show you. Open up, take this one off. There we go. Now you can see inside the access panel. Underneath the seat and bed is storage, lots of storage underneath here for a propane tank, one of those Port-a-Loo porta-potties, an ice chest over there you can see. Okay, so there's good storage. This is about 18 inches high inside here and about 4 feet wide inside. So the structure, I'll show this with the door open. Let me just hide this door here. With the door open, you can see I've got this set up. Right now I've got it set up for seating. During the day, this would be used for seating purposes, okay? And I'm going to pull the side roof off here so I can show you inside. But this has a very nice space for a person that maybe is going to school or working, or just the table can be used for eating or whatever. So you've got approximately 6 feet of space on the inside here by 4 feet wide. And this table is actually part of the bed platform, which I'll show you. You just pull the 2x4 out, put it in one of these slots. It's in this 2x4 here. There's another one on the other side. You just drop the 2x4 into the slot, and then you take your bed panel and put it up on top of that, and then that becomes a table. Here you've got 2 foot by 4 foot cushions. There's three of these cushions that become your bed, or you can use a roll-up mattress pad underneath this that becomes your bed. But during the daytime, it becomes seating. It becomes a little mini couch in here, 4 foot wide. And now you've got a space for a student to do their studies, their work, or for having your meal, or if you're working on a hobby or a craft or something like that, you've got this nice little space. When you need to get out the door, you just lift the table up, put it back, put the 2x4 back in the bottom slots, put the table down, and then you turn it into a bed. And I'm going to show you what it looks like as a bed, too. So, good headroom in this. I really like that it's got a very good space. This is an average person, 5'8" tall. You can see you've got lots of headroom here. You've got these nice dormer windows, which would give you lots of light, and also gives you a little bit more headroom up in this area right in here. A 6-foot person could stand up in the middle of this quite comfortably. Two people could actually share, sit side by side on this couch, or you can pull your ice chest cooler out, or someone could put a foldable chair on the other side here. So you could actually have two people sitting side by side or crossways next to each other here. So lots of space in this little place. So let me show you what the framing looks like on this first. And I'll just have to zoom in on this. Now this is all done with 2x4 construction to keep it inexpensive and easy to build. And then I would sheathe it with either 7/16 inch OSB or plywood. Either one would work. Now it's got a floor frame, as you can see, made of 2x4s down here. Simple 2x4 frame, floor frame construction. And then your casters attach to the corners, not exactly in the corners, but they attach to the floor framing. And the casters have locks on them, so once you move this in place, you can just click on the locks and lock it in place so it won't be rolled around while the person is inside it. Now, this is the bed platform, and it has this back platform is 2'6" wide, and it is permanently connected. These are 1'9" wide platforms that can be raised up. And as you can see, these 2x4s right here, you put the 2x4 up in these other slots, and then you put these panels up on top, and they become either a table or workspace. This one can go up here. This one can go on the end. It can go over the middle. So I gave you lots of options for the ways that you can organize this into workspace or living space as you need to use it. Very simple construction. It takes about 20 2x4s to build this. That's about it. And you're looking at about under $200 for all the material costs. And you could build one of these in a day. Seriously, you could build the complete unit in about a day. And now I'm going to show you on the inside how this can be used as a bed and also as a small business. So I'm just going to click off this. Okay, now I show this with the bed down, the door open so you can kind of get a peek inside here. Now, this is an uninsulated structure. You really don't need insulation in a small structure like this because the human body puts off about as much heat as a 90-watt light bulb. So in a small structure like this, your own body heat will actually heat it up. And for sleeping, you can either do these pads like this as mattress pads, or you can just get a sleeping bag pad or even an air cushion pad to go underneath it. A sleeping bag pad would work fine because you can roll it up and use it as your seating. And a good heavy-duty sleeping bag would be all you would need in order to sleep very comfortably in here. As long as you don't have the wind blowing on you or the rain drenching you or snow piling up on you, you'll sleep very comfortably in a small structure like this. Your own body heat will heat it up. You could add a heater to these, but it really isn't necessary in these small structures. So I'm going to pull off the side roof, and I'm going to show you how much space this has inside it for a bed. It actually has a very nice bed that will sleep either one or two people. Pull this off here. Just hide this. Now, this has a 4 foot wide by 6 foot long bed. So even an average person can sleep in here. Even a tall person, fairly tall person, could sleep in here comfortably without being cramped. And it's 4 foot wide, so that's a very wide bed that will actually sleep two people. Two people could sleep in this space, all right? And it's 6 foot wide, and it's 4 foot wide and 6 foot long. This person I show in here is about 5'8" tall, which is average height for most people. And here you can see the slots I was talking about. these platforms, which I'll show you. I'll take the bed off now. These two platforms are removable with 2x4s underneath them. You just take the 2x4, you put it in the slots that go across here, and then put these platforms up on top to make your table. And you can actually do a table on either end or one in the middle for a desk and table. Now, the ones on the ends I'll show you are used if you want to run a small business out of here, or if you want to organize this in a different way so that if you're cooking, you could put one of these tables on this end or on this end, and you could set up your cooking supplies and you can take care of yourself. You can cook a meal inside this little place right here. So 4 foot wide, 6 foot long bed, and then very adaptable with these platforms of 2x4s. You can just put them up and you can reorganize this any way you want during the daytime for whatever function that you're going to be using. Again, it has storage space underneath the bed and seating. You've got that nice access panel for you got storage underneath there. And I really like the space in here. This would be enough adequate space if in an emergency, let's say that a city has a disaster, a fire like they just had in Canada wipes out all these homes, or you have a tornado tear through a place, or you have flooding or something like that, which we've all seen in the news, happens all the time, and suddenly churches are overrun with people that don't have housing. You know, if you had a bunch of these sitting around that would sleep at least 2 people, you could pull these out in a small area, you could set these up, and people would at least have shelter for survival until they can get into houses or shelter, bigger shelters or something like that. So that's another use for this type of structure here. So now I'm going to put the bed back on just to show you. And again, you can see this has really nice dormer windows. So you got really good light in this. And it's got an excellent sleeping space. It would be better for one person, but it would be adequate for 2 people. Okay? And, if you got little teeny kids with you, you could put, one adult and a couple of kids in there, too. You know, there's enough space in there to sleep comfortably, and you've got lots and lots of headroom. You're not going to bump your head or anything while you're sleeping. Doorway, 1 foot 6 inches wide, 5 foot 3 inches to the top up here. So lots and lots of good space in this. Now I'm going to show you how this can also be modified to be used as a small business. Okay, one thing I know about people that are homeless is they're also very creative, and a lot of them actually run little businesses in order to support themselves. A lot of them do recycling. They recycle cans and bottles and other stuff like that, or they pick up small appliances and stuff that they may find on the streets, or books or pictures or whatever, and they resell them, and that's how they support themselves. A lot of them are also very crafty people. They may make jewelry, or they may make wood crafts or something like that, or they may be artists. And so they have a way to support themselves, and so I think we ought to encourage that, because that helps them to develop sustainability. Not everybody is equipped to work in the regular workforce. Some people just aren't, but they're very industrious and can support themselves with a small business. And so I thought, well, this shack could also be used for setting up a small business. So what I did is I made this so that the window here can be hinged up, and I'll show this. The window on one of the dormers, or both, can be hinged up out of the way. And then you've got room here to put a sales counter or little platform here where this person is 5 foot 8 inches tall. A person can stand in this window and they can operate a small business. They can talk to customers, they can take money, whatever, working right out of this small shack. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be for homeless people. If you wanted to run a hot dog or hamburger stand, or sell your crafts or your books, or, whatever you want to do with this, maybe it's a ticket stand, I don't know. This little shack could be very useful for a lot of different purposes. That's why I call it a multi-shack, is because it can be used for many different purposes. But this would be great for a homeless person that has a craft that they make or recycle products or whatever. They want to sell them. They just hinge up the window and they set themselves up a little business here to take care of customers. Now, this also shows inside how those tables can be reorganized. Here you can see I've lifted up the bed platform to put a table on this end, another table on this end, and you can use this for cooking in here. You can see I've got a little two-burner propane stove that you can set up on one of the tables up there so you can do your cooking. You can work on your crafts. This table just lifts off, a 2x4 lifts off if you need to get access to the door. Lots of good headroom, okay? Workspace in there. This can be modified many different ways for many different people of however you want to use it. So a very functional space in there. All right, so that is the multi-shack, all right? And let me just then hide this so you can get a better view of it. Again, can be built very inexpensively, around under $200 on casters, more expensive if you put it on a trailer. And I'm going to provide these plans for free because this is a project that I designed specifically for churches and nonprofit organizations to build shelters. And at present in the U.S., we have about 1.6 million homeless people that just need a simple shelter to live in. Or we have, that's about one out of 200 people. And that's just in the U.S. There's a lot of people in other countries that are in even worse shape. And I really think a project like this would be great for helping the homeless people to have shelter while maintaining their independence and their pride. But it could also be used as disaster relief shelters. You know, there, we could easily have a major disaster in a city where we have thousands and thousands of people that suddenly are homeless and we need to provide quick shelter. These would also work for that. It would be big enough space for two people to sleep and, you know, to take care of their basic needs. And that's what this structure is about. So I hope you like this design. It's called the Multi-Shack. You can get the plans for free on my website, SimpleSolarHomesteading.com. Up at the top, look at Multi-Shack. Now, there is a button there if you would like to donate. Your donations are used by me to design structures like this and build small houses. I work with a lot of homeless people that don't want to be in the system, that want to build their own off-grid cabins and houses and places like that. I help them with designs and building those projects. So any donation, if you can donate, is very appreciated and will help with those projects. All right, folks, I hope you like this project called the Multi-Shack, and have a great day.
All right, and that's something that we can do. $200. We build it in a day, well, a matter of hours, actually, because when you use the nine friends concept, build it in a matter of maybe, I say 2 hours. If you got yourself organized within an hour. But let's put it at two. 2 hours with the right manpower, and every one of those people do not have to be skilled. And, you know, that's something that one person can do, or, I mean, individually, or if we do a Susu cell, you know, maybe 4 or 5 people, build it, you know, out of pocket, $200, put it up on Facebook Marketplace. We got multiplying power and, you know, earn some money. So that'll be our at least one of our weekly projects. Now, I wanted to, I loaded up something on the Patel family, but I thought it loaded up, but it's not coming up on my, which is weird. I had three. Well, all right, I had three. So let me get it from the rough. All right, let's go back from yesterday, and we're going to get to mortgage-free towns in a moment. In the United States, you have 41,600,000 African Americans, and in Canada, you have 38,250,000 Canadians. That's all Canadians, black, white, everybody. And let's see. The Gujaratis, which is a family name or ethnic group out of India, There are 940,000 in North America. That's the United States, Canada, and Mexico. There are approximately 848,093 in the United States. And let's see, 92,000 speak Gujarati at home. They have their own language. And they have, they control, depending on what part of the continent, anywhere from 40 to 70% of the hotel business in North America. Now, James Wormley, born 1819, sunset 1884, was the first documented African-American to own a hotel. And that was the Wormley Hotel, and this was in Washington, D.C. I never heard of it until about an hour or so ago, so I don't know if it's still there. But James Wormley, he was the first one. Now, in the United States, there are 523 hotels that are black-owned and operated. Once again, 523 hotels black-owned and operated in the United States. Within that number of 523, Bob Johnson, former owner of Black Entertainment Television, he owns 120 of them. So he's got a significant chunk out of that. And Mike and Steve Roberts, they own 12 hotels and or motels out of that figure of 523 hotels collectively owned by black folk in the United States, or African Americans. Okay. Now, the Gujaratis own 20,000 hotels, or mostly motels, in the United States. Yet their population in all of North America is dramatically lower than it is, and you know, part of it is cultural. And for instance, during the late 50s, 60s, you had a lot of African Americans during the Civil Rights era that they wanted those local government jobs, they wanted those state government jobs, they wanted those federal government jobs. And they mastered that. I mean, black folks, they mastered it, no doubt about it. I mean, on a local level, state level, and federal level, we learned the system. We got the skill sets. We got the jobs. On top of that, we got elected to public office. We learned that system very well. We became aldermen. Became city councilmen, we became mayors. The five most populated cities in the United States of America right now in 2023 are headed up by African American mayors. New York, black mayor. Chicago, second black mayor in a row. Los Angeles, California, black female mayor, first. For that city. Not the first black mayor for L.A., but the first black female mayor of Los Angeles. And we're talking about, between New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles, we're talking about just those three cities alone, a percentage of the entire United States of America live in those three cities. And there's 108,000 towns in the United States. All right. Houston, Texas, black mayor. So there's one more I'm missing. Oh, and, I don't know if I know Atlanta's got a black mayor, but let's see. We know Washington, D.C.'s got a black mayor. But the five most populated are right, New York, Chicago, L.A., Houston, and there's another one in there. If you guys know, press one. But the top five most populated, we saw during the so the marching and the protesting of the late 50s and 60s paid off. That's what those people wanted back then. They wanted those secure government jobs on a local, state, and federal level, and we got it. We wanted to be, we were following the W.E.D. Du Bois strategy for political power, and we got it. We've had a black president of the United States twice elected. We got a black VP in office right now. All right. So we mastered that part. I'm gonna say master. But we still got some issues. Now, from my point of view, we should have been following the Booker T. Washington game plan. Enterprise. Businesses and the Nation of Islam, they did that, but on a critical mass basis, we haven't, you know, African Americans haven't done that. So anyway, the Gujaratis, the ethnic group out of India, they came over here, just one of them, in California, and got one motel, just one. Now it's a generational wealth thing. You know, every aspect of that. And mind you, there are less than a million of them in North America. Yet they have more political power. Now, when I say political power, I'm talking about they can bankroll elections. Because they've got 20,000 hotels and motels. We only have 523. Bob Johnson owns about 25% of that number. That's just one guy out of 41 million. There's not enough marching in the world to outpace that. So what we need to do, all right, with the same gumption that we did for the civil rights era, we need to become enterprises. We need to become enterprises. So, because we have the brain power. We have the numbers. If the Gujaratis, who have less than a million people now, can own 20,000 hotels and counting, we can do the same thing. Now, one of the ways that we can do this is, and Robin coined this term yesterday, we're going to be chatting it up on our broadcast when we do radio with this, mortgage-free towns. And I do have to give credit to black folk on this. With the historical black townships, when they built those towns and they built their houses in those historical black townships, which we've named quite a few on here, we've had some black mayors on here from these historical black townships, they built those homes debt-free. They built them mortgage-free. So all I'm saying is now there's about, at its peak, there were about 1,400 black townships in the United States. I understand there's about, let's put the figure at about anywhere from 700 to 900 black townships in the United States. And in those towns, I'm sure there's some homes that have been in the general family for over 100 years, debt-free, mortgage-free. They just pay the, the yearly taxes. So, but mortgage-free, so those were mortgage-free towns. The black townships, the historical black townships, Edenville here in Florida, Mount Bayou in Mississippi, all of those towns started off, they didn't call them that, but that's what they were. You know, in your Amish and your Mennonite communities here in the United States, a lot of those towns are really mortgage-free towns. So Robin coined the term mortgage-free, and her town, Maven Town, will be that. So, and this little project, we took $200. All right. You know, I can kick in 50. Okay. I can kick in 50 to 100. I can kick in the whole amount right now. But let's say we do it as a group project, four people, 50 each, get it built in a day, and put it up on Etsy. Now, here's how we can do it. We're talking about strategies now, all right, because we'll be teaching people this. All right, we can build one, put it up on Etsy, and sell it. Check out Etsy. They do sell tiny houses on Etsy. All right, we can put it up on eBay, build it, put – we can have one on eBay. We can have one on Etsy. We can have on, Facebook Marketplace. Go, and let me think of another platform. You know what? We can do a live stream and put it on multiple platforms, including YouTube. So we can employ those four strategies. Okay, because we're approaching the end of August. We're getting into, Christmas time is getting closer. But that's something, that's why I played it twice this morning. That's something that can be done in a day. Okay, you really don't need, you probably need one skilled person, boots on the ground for it, and... do you want one paycheck a week or do you want four paychecks a week? That's something that we can build in a day. I mean, if this program starts at like 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. So we get started, because we can start before 10:30. Okay. And have it built by the end of the podcast, let's say 12:30, that's, lunchtime, put it up online, and then check back to see, what kind of activity did we have overnight. So we can have the one-town strategy or the four-town strategy on that. Let me, and that's a simple... if we do four people, $50 each. If we do two people, $100 each. Robin, you there?
Yes, and I'm not the only one on this line this morning. Area code 773 is on with me again. And good morning.
Good.
Yes.
Good morning, all. Well, what do you guys think about, I don't know if you heard the audio, the multi-shack idea. It can be built in a day for about $200. You build it in a day, and then you can put it up on eBay, you can put it up on Etsy, or you can put it up on Facebook Marketplace. Any thoughts on
it? Yeah, I think that is an excellent idea. Something I was thinking about earlier, too, is You know how we can build one a week? Well, we can create a Suzu around that so that one person a week everyone will chip in, whatever, their time, their money, materials, whatever, and then at the end, at every week, someone will win, will receive a structure. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like that idea, particularly if you put it on Facebook Marketplace, because you know what I love about Facebook Marketplace? I've got friends in Uganda. There's Facebook Marketplace in Uganda. There's Facebook Marketplace practically on every continent. I don't know if it's in Antarctica, but I know people in Facebook Marketplace is, like I say, on every continent. It might not be in Antarctica, the South Pole, but it's definitely throughout Africa, Europe, Asia, definitely, North and South America. So we can basically take one set of plans and build and set up several Suzu. So it comes down to how many Suzus do you want to be a part of?
Yeah.
And and we're talking about they're going to be mortgage-free structures from the get-go. So that's what we're talking about. Mortgage-free structures. No banks included. You don't need a credit score from CBI or Equifax or none of that.
Don't even run your credit. How about that?
Right. So whatever's needed. That's why I played that back.
You know how they used to say your cash is no good here? Yeah, your credit's no good here. Because credit is no good. How about that? It's bonded. Yeah. So I love mortgage-free towns. You build your structures. The best way to own something is to build it or create it. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you build your structure. It's mortgage free. Don't get a loan to get the materials. Use your social capital. Remember that you as a person, you vibrate. We all vibrate at frequencies. We are the currency, not money. So we always have to remember that. I know that might sound completely weird to people, but you have to think about that, because money by itself, it's just sitting there inert doing nothing. So it takes people with currency and blood flowing through their veins, vibrating at a frequency to connect with someone to pick up that bill and hand it off to exchange it for it to have any value. So the value lies in the true currency, which is the people's. So science lesson for today.
All right, we're going to act on what you said, Robin. We're going to chip away at this every day because we start broadcasting with the big nets, or the big local nets, boots on the ground nets, on September 4th. Now, to go along with mortgage-free towns and mortgage-free housing, a term that Delmar, America coined, enterprising ministries, which basically that's what we've been talking about. So Delmar, you want to chime in on to give us more enlightenment on your vision for enterprising ministries, which. Well, nothing new. It's just nobody's coined it that way, to my knowledge.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Robin. My thought, I want to give some more background to that. After 50-plus years in traditional Christian ministry, there's something wrong with that picture for what I was doing. And by the grace of God, I got spun out of that, not because I was smart. And actually, I fell out of the pulpit. And while I was down there looking up, I saw stuff and found out, though I've been professionally trained with the college and all this stuff, that traditional Christianity had left the economics out. The only
right.
thing you hear about money with the traditional Christianity, you give it to the preacher, because they said give it to God, but God don't need the money. Anyway, so I saw through that and realized that the whole Bible, particularly the Old Testament, we call, which is a bad phrase, is about economics, success in this life. I tell this to people kind of shockingly, there's nothing in the Bible about how to live in heaven. Nothing. The whole Bible is about living here on this earth from an instructor standpoint. So we have the morals in the Old Testament, and so what came to my mind was, and Ella, I didn't explain this to you, I have an enterprises false class of ministry. So I deal with the gold, silver, the gold, and the soul. I cover both. So I have the enterprise, that's the silver and gold, and the gospel of the soul. So the model for how to do that is right there in the Old Testament. There's some laws that I'll be sharing. They're right there, and they're permanent, and everybody has to use them. And therefore, just going in on about why the Patels did what they did and why blacks did what they did. One thing you'll note is clear in the Bible, you can just look around you. Every ethnic group has their own DNA type thing, what they do. None of them
right.
do everything. So black people have their uniqueness in it. The Jews have theirs and Asian people have theirs. So recognize that. European have theirs. And I'm not sure we can cross over and mix them. But when we understand our element, our role, our function, and excel in that, we could do much better. Again, the
right.
civil rights movement was socially focused, socially accepted. We got sidetracked on things by equality. What nobody said, black people never been unequal. Nobody. That's never the case. So we need the law change, and the laws have changed, but there's a cultural shift in black community about what we find to be valuable. And we were never taught the economics with the foundation of freedom. But we're getting there. Dr. King was getting there when he was taken out. He believed that he was becoming more aware of the need for an economic strategy than just the social part. So that's my thought for today. And I got a lot to share in the coming weeks and months when we get going. So thank you.
All right, thank you, Delmar. Matter of fact, it was between conversations between both of you yesterday, where the, I don't know which came first, but the, for some reason it got on, like, you know, a lot of these churches, you know, occasionally you hear about, you know, my church or your church or whatever, or somebody's church burnt the mortgage, you know, to the church. But I haven't heard any, now there might be, but I haven't heard any, you know, testimonies about somebody in the congregation where they burnt their mortgage. So that's where I, some kind of way that came up with Robin, where the no mortgage house, which led up to the no mortgage town. And then if we enterprise that, because
yeah.
if you think about it, it and I'm not knocking the passes with the Rolls Royces and the Bentleys and the $65 million jet or nothing like that, but I'm just saying, if imagine if there was a campaign where, okay, let's work to get now in a big mega church, that would be difficult to do, because you got billions, if not trillions, of dollars of bank debt on top of that. But what we're talking about, which is based on Isaiah 65:21, if we build ours, because we're talking about what can we do to go into a hardware store or Home Depot, or what can we do without taking out a loan and then using social capital to build. Now, that's something that we can do, okay, and that anybody can do. So let's enterprise that. Something that simple, let's enterprise that. And like I said, with the historical black townships, essentially they built, those people didn't have college degrees. There was no FHA, there was no VA, there was no social services office, but they had the skill set and the social capital to build. So all we're doing is we're taking a page out of that book and doing it in 2023 and 2024. And like I said, with the Lamar thing, which is the same thing, all right, he broke down the cost. This is, you know, projects that we can do in a day. The more we do it, the quicker we'll do it. And we're talking about, all right, I got to spare $50 right now to do that. I got to spare $100. I got to spare $200 to do it. But, you know, let's build it. And then, as Robin stated, put in a Suzu cell, and then put it up online where everybody can observe it. You got clear transparency there through the whole process. And then, all right, who gets the jackpot today? Because we can plan it where you can do it daily or weekly. So
yep,
we're going to chip away at these little bit by little bit every day. And this idea that we can act on right now.
Yeah, because it's right in the plans of building one house a week. You see,
right, and we don't have to borrow money to get involved with this. Okay,
mm-mm.
And then we all live in proximity of a Home Depot, Lowe's, Harbor Freight, Ace Hardware Store, whatever hardware store, you know. We got everything we need. All of us got access to Etsy, eBay, Facebook Marketplace. We all have access to that. So I'm taking $50 aside right now for it.
Yes, right now. Okay, so I think that's
because I'm
gonna
get it back.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get not only get it back, it's gonna come back multiplied.
Yeah.
Now we built some for $200, we might be able to sell it for $2,000. Don't know.
Then keep participating in the Zuzu, because your name will come up in multiple rounds then. See?
Right. Right, because we're talking about, because let's think out loud right now. All right, Lamar said $200. So let's say that's four people at $50 each. Four people at $50. I can remember three other names. Okay.
I was going to say.
And I know my name's going to pop up. If it doesn't pop up, let's say I put in $50 this week. Okay, and you got to base it on your budget. Some people, $50 might be what you can handle for the month. So that's what you do. But I'm looking at, let's say we do one a week. So I'm going to need each one of the Suzu members for that will need 200. All right, so if I put in my $50 this week, it gets built. All right, what's today, Tuesday? All right, we build it on Tuesday. Let's say it sells by Friday and everything. All right, my name didn't come up this week. Might not come up next week. It might not come up the third week. But the fourth week, I know it's mine. So, as a matter of fact, Robert, let's get the logistics on that. What's today, too? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're going to iron this thing now. We already have, we got a bank account. We have, you know, the tech. Robin's got all the legal stuff out the way. Now, as far as the materials go, you know, now where I'm at, I'm in Lake. Robin's got my address, home address. Okay. And the Suzu members, they can have it, whoever they will be. All right. If you're not in the Suzu, you won't have it. I know Beasley's got it, too. Now, in my neck of the woods, and I'm just thinking out loud for anybody who's in the Suzu, okay, that will contemplate. Number one, I got in my town, Lakeland, there are, I got at least one Harbor Freight that's about a 10-minute drive from my front door. I got a Harbor Freight. But I got tools though. All right, I got power tools already. Now there's he was talking about casters, put it on wheels. So in my town, I've got, let's see, in Bartow, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I got 4 Walmarts to buy materials. There are, let's see, 1, 2. There's at least 2 Home Depots, no, at least 1 Home Depot and 2 Lowe's, all within a 15 to 20-minute drive from where I'm sitting at right now. And there's an Ace Hardware store franchise on South Florida Avenue that's about, I get in about 15 minutes from where I'm sitting at right now, 20 minutes, depending on traffic at the most. So that's what I've got where I'm at, okay? Where Robin's at, she's got resources. So I don't know where other people will be, you know, who will be. But I'm just saying, those are the type of things that we can all, that are all transparent. And, you know.
So, yes, and most of these, most of the places that we can get supplies from that you mentioned are online. So even if you there's Amazon, but like Lowe's, Home Depot, they have an online factor as well.
Right.
So you're not if you don't have a local hardware store, you're still not stuck. And so watch this. In addition to creating mortgage-free towns, we are also establishing a community-based business as well, because
right.
the participants in that Suzu, that's entrepreneurialistic.
Entrepreneurial, you're right.
Yeah, and so if you keep those Suzus going, because after you build your house, in the town, you have a community. So you're also going to need to build your schools, your places of worship, your places of business. You know, there's other structures as well. And so you could build that whole place Suzu style and keep it going, keep that Suzu going. And now you've got a self-sustaining community. Yeah, beautiful. Does that
right.
make sense?
Yep, makes sense. Definitely makes sense. So, because like I say, the Prince is in pain for it, and I'm glad you brought up the online element and all this. A person can – what'd you say, Robin?
I am a pioneer.
Oh, yeah, you definitely are. We all are. Now, for instance, like for pay for materials, for instance, I'm not giving any money to any individual. But let's say the job is going to be done. Well, it's me and Robin, and then you got, you know what? You got Delmar. He's in Memphis, okay? He's in the Memphis, Tennessee area. So let's say for this particular week, we're building in Memphis, Tennessee. Okay, that's the physical location that we'll be building this week. I'm thinking out loud, people, okay? This is previews of real soon coming attractions here. Now, so what we can do is, instead of sending the money directly to Delmar, although Delmar is very trustworthy, you can pay for it online through Amazon or the local Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever, and pay for it online for plywood, caster wheels, whatever. Whatever's needed for that particular project and that neck of the woods for that particular week or and or day. And then, so we know that the money part is taken care of and it's secure. And then we already know that Amazon or Walmart or whoever what has the infrastructure and the manpower to deliver whatever tools and or materials, building materials, through Delmar. We can sleep at, we ain't got to worry about nothing because that system is it's done. It's in stone.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, so.
And then also, that's something else too that, okay, so you can create an Amazon seller's account and you can list. You don't have to rely on Etsy and Facebook Marketplace. You can list the houses and structures in Amazon yourself. Become an Amazon seller. Did you know that?
We'll go through on how to become that.
Okay.
Because my personal experience, and I'm just one person, I don't have all the experience. My personal experience with success has been eBay, Facebook Marketplace, and I've had success with Craigslist, but I don't recommend Craigslist though.
But Amazon, that opens up that whole site to you, and all of their whole platform of delivery,
right,
fulfillment, all of that's much, okay, the net is cast much wider than Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist.
Right.
So imagine the success that you're having there. It's going to be 100-fold in Amazon
right.
Marketplace.
So We'll discuss on how we need to set that up as well. So those we'll have weekly, and you know what, we'll be moving towards daily Suzu's as well.
Yep. Also, something I would recommend is also becoming. You have Amazon sellers, and then you also have Amazon Associates. So you become an Amazon Associate, and then you can take and put widgets on your website and stuff like that. They give you a code, and then when people order anything on Amazon through your code, your link, you get commissions, and that's something that we can do to set up some sustainability for ourselves as well. It's passive income.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
So
because once you get into building a community, after you build a community, it has to be sustained, okay?
Right.
We're not going to be looking to get food stamps and a check for our sustainability, okay? We're gonna create our own opportunities and build our own opportunities. But does that make sense? And then we can utilize things already. I call it creating bandwidth within already existing bandwidth. So in this case, we're going to utilize bandwidth that's afforded to us that will bring us in some pretty good passive income. Now we also have to focus on marketing. We have to have campaign after campaign after campaign going out. Now we have to become marketers, mayors and marketers.
Oh, well, that's the bottom line of it. Delmar,
yeah.
Any comment?
Yeah,
is Delmar still here?
That's my comment. All is going right down the line. We got the marketing, the point of sale and construction, several parts. And as Robin has said, we want to utilize whatever entity is best, whether it be Amazon or either whatever one of the best. We agree on that, and that's where we'll go. So everything's
right,
out there. We don't have to invent anything. That's my comment.
Okay, great. All right, well, what we're going to see today is Tuesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, what I want to do is essentially, prepare for our first one. You know, how much is it going to cost to put it together, which we already had a general idea of what that costs today. And then, just break that down to a solely transparent, pick out the platforms that after we get it built, what are we going to sell it on? And then more than likely, there are going to be other people that, somebody's going to ask, do you have another one available? So we need to factor that in. Because if we have another, if we build two, then, we can make back-to-back sales. Now, a very important point is we're going to need boots-on-the-ground locations for where these are going to be built. So I know in that shouldn't be any problem with boots on the ground. Let's see. There was we'll hash out. And then these Suzus, like particularly for the one based on a project that we played today, I say that needs no more than five people, four or five people max. Four people at, $200 is needed. So we're talking about $50 each.
If you don't order that pizza or DoorDash, don't get your lattes, a couple of lattes. You know what I mean? We're going to be encountering and people that are business minded, so they're not going to be their mindset is they're not going to push back. Well, $50, that's a lot. They're going to see the vision and see, and those are the people that we're talking to too. We're not really concerned about trying to persuade or convince or sell anybody. Okay?
No.
We're offering
nope.
it out, and you can pick up what we're putting down or move on.
right. So, because essentially at what we're going to be pricing these at, people are going to be,
yeah.
We can move them every day. That You know what? Everything starts with one. Let's just start with one. One project. And the Suzu will be made up of 2 to 4 people, or 5 people max. No more than 5. Because let's see it. We have all right, $200 divided by 5 people. That's $40 each. Okay. Of course, 4 people, $50 each. You know, 2 people, $100 each. So we're going to do the first Suzu, and we'll be planning on tomorrow. Now, let's lay it out this way. We start at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. But I do all the motivational stuff. So at 11 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, we should be done with our motivational stuff at 11 a.m. If come with your pencil, paper, whatever. We're doing the math. Okay. Now I'm tossing in the first 50 myself. I'm one. Okay. And we'll, after we do the math and all that tomorrow, we'll find out. Because we might want to keep that to maybe no more than a 4-person Suzu. So I'm one. We need 3. So after we do the math tomorrow, and that math also includes after this point, where we're going to sell it. So we already named some places today already. You know, web platforms, boots on the ground market, or you know that's it's going to be in, and then as a backup, somebody from that, do you have another one? So I'm prepared to do 2. 50 on one house, on another house, because I'm pretty confident that. The selling price also, I'm pretty confident we can double our money, bare minimum all out there. So, anyway, tomorrow we'll go through the math on that. So, we have another caller here. 866, your mic.
Good morning, Robin in L.A.
Good morning.
Is that Delma here too?
Yeah, good morning.
It's Chris. I just been listening and excited for you. So I definitely like plans being made. You know, I like that commitment. So I'm excited to see, you know, the first one go and see what other people do. You know, everybody's gonna do something different, right?
How is the Maui stuff going?
It's going. We have 200 acres that has been donated on the east side of the island, and it's indigenous land that was taken from these people, so we're giving it back to the people. And they are getting paid to build homes on trailer frames on another property. So there, we're creating a workforce there. The two unions on the other islands called me yesterday, and they're going to get involved and help instruct and show how easy this actually is to frame this material, because they frame with it every day when they build your commercial buildings, and they build with it on them islands. So this material is not new to the islands. It's just new to residential. Okay. It's new to the U.S. in residential. It's not a residential product. So trying to show a commercial built residential home. What's with commercial? You go buy commercial land or buildings. It costs more money. It costs more money to build them. It costs more money every way around. But at the end, they're worth more because they're better products. they'll let you put anything in your house. They won't just let you put anything in a commercial building. So, you know, showing people that transformation here and getting that across to them, that what they're getting is something they've never had and they will never want to have anything else again because this ain't going anywhere. You know, a lot of those homes that those people lived in, you know, could be run down, you know, barely built at all, barely standing, you know, because they're really, were on sovereign ground without real building codes. They were just surviving. Well, now they're going to thrive. So the people that are there, you know, every one of them have so much loss they're going through. But you know what? When I see them smile now, 7 days after we got involved, you know, I've seen them smile since the first day, but see it continue, that lets me know they have hope and they've got joy in their life, even though they're going through something and not getting the support that they need and they should be getting. And, you know, disgust me on how much product is sitting in containers, not going to the people. It's unbelievable. FEMA's holding it. Why? I thought this was the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Why would you hold rations for people? But then hold over their head. They have to sign a paper.
Because people need to understand that FEMA is not for the people. FEMA is not your friend. That's why we need to get between the people and the FEMA. So FEMA activates emergency management, and then it's emergency management that dispatches the food and the supplies and all of that. So FEMA, once they sound the activation, then they withhold everything. And the reason why is because they're trying to force the people into a condition that they have no defense to when they come and take everything away from them. So, we've got ways around that. But I just felt that FEMA's not your friend.
No, FEMA's not your friend. You are so right, Robin. And now, the thing is they're actually for a paper to be signed to get help. If you get any of those rations, you have to sign a paper. And the paper says you have no rights to land. And it's a huge land grab is what they're trying to do. But, I mean, it's straight through the FEMA agency. And to have these indigenous people that need water, right now they got plenty of food and they got plenty of water. I'm going to let you know that. And it ain't because of the government, okay? No way, shape, or form is this because of the government. So our government has done nothing. Now, the president was there yesterday, but we were live Saturday. We've been live every day. We go live every 12 hours at 8:08 Maui time, and or 8:08 in the morning, 8:08 p.m. Maui time. We go live, and we got interviews with people that are on the island. We're going to tell stories of what they do, but we're also going to be doing concerts during this whole event. But none of it is censored. We've got land set up for airdrops. So if anybody out there is listening, you know, hey, want to get involved, we got ways, you know. We've got some plane situations we've already lined up, but we got to pay for the fuel. But we can do some airdrops, okay? But things are starting to move in the right direction. Like I said, we do have land in two separate locations that's already been fast-tracked on one of them to build. So we're sending 250 houses over, and we're sending the trailer frames, the axles, everything. They will assemble everything on the island. I'm not having anything assembled here because I'm going to pack it on the ship as tight as I can pack it. and send as much of it as we can possibly send. So I love the fact that the people are getting paid to do this, and it has been, this 80 acres has already been fast-tracked through the everything. So the funding is there for it, everything's there for it, and now it's just getting it started. But our first meeting this week, we've only had one this week with this group, and next week we have another one. But the first order was an immediate 250, not counting these 200 acres, the 127 acres that we're going to start on this first phase. So we got 127 and we got 80. So there's 200 right there, plus an additional 80 or 873 or something that's still there. I'm really excited about what is transpiring. And plus they're working on purchasing 3,000. You know, how amazing is that? They buy this. It's on Maui, yeah.
People need to be aware that Oprah Winfrey, Bill Gates, and Mark Zuckerberg, they own a lot of land in Maui, particularly in Lahai, I can't ever say it, sorry. But and none of their properties were damaged in the fires, none of them. Bill Gates, it's either Gates or Zuckerberg, owns more land in Hawaii than the state of Hawaii does.
Correct.
And they are making it very difficult for anyone else to come in and purchase land. They are suspending, like, there's a 2 weeks before the fires, there's a law on the books that says historical properties have to be restored exactly as the original, right? The governor of Hawaii suspended that law 2 weeks before the fires. So
and they also went from a $2 million emergency fund to a $40 million emergency fund. That just happened too, right before the fire. And and that's disaster aid, not just emergency, disaster aid. Okay, so it went, all that happened. And, you know, these people are wonderful. They really are. Their spirit, their ancestral heritage is just unbelievable as far as how their hearts are, how they feel about each other. And, you know, that's what I've been enjoying most about the shows that they've been doing. They've really been paying homage to the people that aren't here with us anymore because of this greed, okay? This greed has shown that life doesn't matter. It's very expendable. It has a price tag on it. And life shouldn't have a price tag on it because life is priceless. So, you know, the way you got to think, you know, I would hope that their conscience would actually bring them back to where they were before they had. Because every one of those people did not have before they got it. And once they got it, they felt superior to others. And you got someone, now, I don't even know how this happened. How you can even tell me this happened, I don't know. We've been trying to figure it out. But there's a ferry that used to run from Maui over to another island that's owned by a guy that owns Oracle, that has hundreds of millions of dollars, and he owns the whole damn island. Well, they bring this ferry over, and 2% of the island he does not own. And they would bring tourists over to this 2% of the island so that they could stand there and watch the rich live. And that ferry was burnt. Okay? That ferry was eliminated. Now, and then there was a comment, you know, about the way he felt about people coming over and gawking at him. So, you know, when you look at the richest people on the planet, we know they have an agenda. Fine. You know what kind of people they are. We're going to continue to buy their products. We're going to continue to use their stuff. Guess what? You are part of the problem. We can stop them. We got ways of solving them. But it takes all of us here to actually stop what we're doing and let them realize that we can be in control. But if you have no control over your spending, I don't know what to tell you. But to find out the richest man on the planet sells luxury brands disgusts me, because that shows me how much vanity is out there.
The background.
Yeah, I don't know what the background sound was there, but definitely, you know, the people just need to keep their eyes open and realize that, you know, evil is all around us, and it roots from that money. And if you live your life to that almighty dollar, you know, you're probably going to make a lot of people holler and not really matter to you. That's the part. So you will change if that money. I walked away from profit in 2005, people. I don't know very many people in life that could say they walked away from profit because they were tired of having their life taken from them because of greed. But I was sick of it. And here I am 18 years later. So I come and I give my time. I share it every day. I don't get paid for any of it, just so y'all know. There ain't none of this, right? In the same way with the man that's giving the show and Robin, okay? I appreciate these people because of their time. Their time is the precious thing they have in life, and they give it to you and try to educate you. So to me, they're amazing and superstars, rock stars, and I want to be around them. You know, it's not about whether everybody in the world thinks they are. I know they are. And I hope people throughout the world get to know them, because you're going to find out what kind of people they are. So yeah, I'm here, bro. I love your show. And was here to support. But I'm out there on the reason I ain't been here to even put in my little 2 cents is just because I've been putting my 2 cents everywhere else. And that 98 has started to really initiate, okay? So everybody's got 100% to give. Please put your two cents in and start to begin. Make a plan. Do what he's doing. Do what she's doing. Do what you want to do, because nobody's going to think for you, but hopefully you do something. That is the key behind this, right? And if everybody wasn't working and doing everything that they're doing, and I appreciate every person that is working for those people out there, regardless of every other incidents and events that are going on around the world, it's over there. You know, giving these people the support that they need and show them that they matter. And what's best is they're actually going to start sending homes. As soon as they all get in a home, they're going to continue building those homes, just like the ones they're getting. And they're going to send them over to the other islands. And they're going to help all those people get off the street and off those drugs and let them know that they matter. They're going to stop the suffering of those people. They're initiating something. This is an ignition. and it took a fire to do it. But the heart of these people, you know, aloha. It means, you know, hello and see you later, you know. It's not a total goodbye. It's just see you later, the way I feel about it, because they'll say mahalo to you. And that will tell you, you know, good night and go in peace, you know. They're such a wonderful people, and they just spread it, and they invite us in because we bring economy to them. But it's not being used right because of greed. We're coming at the people from the bottom this time, and we're going to grow from the streets. And they got nowhere to go but get off because we're going to get them on their feet. And, you know, like I said, I'm so thankful to all the artists that are doing these things. And there's some major, major players that have signed on. We haven't done their shows yet, but they're coming. They're going to continue to do these shows. But every 12 hours, please go to hopeformaui.org and watch the live stream and enjoy the show. Share the show. Share the page. Everybody needs to be kind of seeing what's going on, because this can go anywhere. This, all the materials leaving the state, you know, leaving the state side here and going out to the islands. So all the materials are already here. And what's nice is I think I even got another factory, and it's already in California. And if that's the case, things are really about to change. So I'm in those discussions right now. I'll know something today. And, I've got another, that one in San Antonio will be in operation in September. They wound up dividing the building. So instead of a 50,000 square foot building, it's only a 25,000. But, you know, we're still making material. People can get them. But right now, you know, just letting people know that we're trying to fill shipping containers full of products. And we've got to have it all, you know, the cabinets, the everything. So there's a lot to it. And, you know, anybody wants to get involved, reach out and get involved. We need help. You know, there's always room for more. So I appreciate you letting me run my mouth here a little bit this morning. But what else would y'all like? When are you guys doing the first build here?
We're planning. We're planning all this week. And I guess we'll start the first week of September. No, but we're planning now.
Right, right. And what are you planning on building?
We're just small.
I don't know, you just broke up there.
In any event, we're going to pick up on this tomorrow. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.